Welcome into the BBP. This is the Bengals Beat Podcast presented by Inquirer Sports. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals beat writers, Paul Diener Jr. and Jim Ossarski, invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out the insider news as well as listening on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Just search Inquirer Bengals Beat Podcast. And as always, you can listen on our free Cincinnati Inquirer Bengals app. If you don't have the app, well, I suggest rectifying that situation immediately in the App Store. Now, if you're down with BBP, let's go. All right, welcome back to the BBP. Paul Diener Jr., Jim Ossarski, your Bengals beat writer for Cincinnati Inquirer. We are coming at you, Steelers week.
Yeah.
Cleveland in the rear view.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, my. They're bad.
Yeah.
You don't need us to tell you this. You don't need to know the sport to know this. But wow.
They look less. They look less like an NFL team than back on October 23rd,
or last year.
Yeah,
or last year. Robert Griffin is not an NFL quarterback.
Wow, that was look. I don't really know what to make of that. It was. I mean, the guy's practiced the last week and a half.
Has he?
Well, I don't know. That was, I guess, surprising to me, Paul. I mean, look that. If there was a couple things RG3 did well when he was like himself, it was the mobility. But he was an accurate thrower. And I mean, the conditions weren't great to throw the ball, but some of the throws, some of the throws that he made were just head scratching.
No, not good, good at all. And then the guys couldn't catch, and then they called flea flickers from the two, and threw in a triple coverage. Tickets were going for $1 on the secondary market. You could find anything. $1, $3, $6. You like middle level tickets for $6.
Yeah.
To an NFL tilt.
Yeah, but it was the Bengals and the Browns.
No, I mean that stadium was, and as you would expect, I guess, as empty the stadium as I've seen.
Honestly, Paul, the only thing I can compare it to was the 50-cent tickets back in Milwaukee when the Brewers had gone in the tank, I don't know, in like 12 or 13 on way to...
Was that when Ryan Braun got busted and they were like using his the money they saved on his suspension to buy everybody beers?
Yeah, it might have been that. I mean, I've seen a 12-win NBA club, with like 2,000 people in the arena. I mean, so on a scale, it was like the same thing. It was just, I think they announced paid attendance of 60K, which...
That's a lot of people with season tickets that chose not to attend, obviously.
It was the most empty. Kareem Alexander, our photographer, even said this, too. I mean, in my handful of years covering NFL, I'd never seen anything that looked like that.
Nah. And, I mean, some of the pictures from the beginning of the third, like the middle of the third quarter... When the fans had just completely given up, are just unbelievable. But yeah, so we've gone to Cleveland and back. Bengals win that game 23-10. It really wasn't that close. There were a few anxious moments at the beginning of the fourth quarter, but for them, the game was never within single digits after half. Bengals went out to a quick start, and that was that. It was sort of one of those business-like, workman-like, clock in, clock out, go home type of deals.
You know,
show up, run the ball because they can't stop the run, get up early, demoralize them a bit, and then that's that. And they did that.
I think really, and we got some way more interesting stuff to get into right now. I think really if you're going to try to flip this game ahead to Pittsburgh, really would just be the fact that for 2 weeks in a row, granted I know who they played, but for 2 weeks in a row, they've scored early, got an opponent off the field, a three and out, flipped, scored again. I mean, for the first time to play with a lead back-to-back weeks, and you saw, I think, the strengths of this Bengals team when they are in that position.
Yeah, a lot of after the game people talking about the importance of this positive momentum, and that's something we've gotten into over the last few weeks here about what you're going to get. I mean, listen, you're playing out the string. You're not going to win a ton of games next year because you played out the string well necessarily, but there's something to be said for it. Andrew Whitworth kind of called it, like, looking back at the 08 season at the end when they relearned how to fight and claw and scratch, and it was kind of a wake-up call to everybody. And then the next year, they won so many games where they just scratched out wins at the last second, really close games, people that remember that 09 season. There, I think that's the biggest takeaway of what's happening right now, because the Eagles aren't great. Obviously, they're really fading fast.
Right.
The Browns are maybe the worst team in the history of the league. They beat a Dolphins team who was trash, the Browns earlier, and the Jets team who's going to pick in the top five. Those are their wins.
Yeah.
So I think that's why Sunday will be interesting, and we've got all week to get into that, because the Bengals feel better about themselves. They feel better about the way they're playing. They seem to be playing better just because they handily beat those two teams. Well, now you can kind of go, you know, is the defense really playing better over the last 5 weeks, or have they just not really played any sort of decent offense? Well, here comes the Steelers with every single weapon at their disposal on offense.
Right.
And a game that they're going to need badly in your house. So, okay.
Yeah.
See if some of this progress that you've talked about and this momentum that's been talked about turns into anything, or if you just get run off the field like you have against every other good team you play this year.
Yeah, no, I'm curious to see. I mean, you know, that points per game that the defense has allowed since the bye is gradually going down. But again, a year ago at this time, you know, when Andy Dalton broke his thumb early in that game, that's the one hiccup the Bengals defense had in the second half of last year. Pittsburgh coming into Paul Brown.
Yeah, it's happened
dropping
before.
Dropping 30 on them. So, I mean,
yeah, and they did it the year before, too. They went over 40. The last time Le'Veon Bell played a full game against the Bengals was all the way back then, and he went for about 180 yards on that day, and Pittsburgh ran it up. So we will have plenty more time to get to that, and some other stuff to get to today. We got to get to garbage. We got to get to the garbage can.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Trash. Garbage.
Trash.
Terrell, you in there?
Trust me, I know people have seen that sort of little video. This is the better audio.
The full audio. You're gonna test my censorship skills.
Yeah, and it's the original trash can. Like, that second one people have seen.
There's a second trash can.
That's the second trash can. That's when it had already been done and it was a little more staged, if you will. This first one, I can't describe it other than wait till you hear it. Because Adam's in the trash can. Looking for him, like, he's in there,
and you hear the
that's all I could say. So stick around for that.
We'll get into that whole thing and some thoughts on that. We'll get into some of these rookie receivers and AJ Green's status. AJ Green, Marvin Lewis said, gonna practice this week. We'll talk about that and talk to wide receivers coach James Urban about some of the development of these rookies, which has really become one of the brightest lights in sort of a dark year. Has been what's happened in that room. So we'll get into some of that stuff. We'll talk a little bit more about Vontaze Burfict, not just how he's playing, but how penalty-free he's been as we go full circle as Pittsburgh comes back to town and Burfict plays against him for the first time since that January game. Some good stuff from Paul Gunther there. I want to start, though, talking about Marvin Lewis.
Yeah.
If you haven't read it yet, I highly recommend you go back through all of our game coverage to the game day feature column from Paul Dougherty, our columnist, talking about. Went down, talked to Marvin Lewis, called it the barstool conversation. If you were sitting on a barstool, how would you explain this thing?
Right.
And very candid, Marvin, as candid, Marvin, as you'll probably get.
Yeah.
And a few important nuggets in there. Most importantly, Marvin Lewis says, if asked, I will be back next year.
Yeah.
And as we've told you many times in this podcast, he will be asked.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we're a fully of the, you never know, but you can pretty much with full certainty say, Mike Brown is going to ask Marvin Lewis to come back next year.
Yeah.
And the only question was always, is Marvin going to retire? Is he ready to retire? Is he thinking about retirement? is this going to be the year that sends him off? And he says no.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other stuff in there, but let's open with that.
Yeah, I think you're right, Paul. Only because it had been two off seasons. Well, I guess an off season and the start of another one. Start of the season, I should say, last year, where he told Doc, if we win the Super Bowl, I'm giving the trophy to Mike, and I'm riding off in the sunset, which he later sort of walked back as being a joke. But I'll tell you, it wasn't really. An antenna went up inside Paul Brown Stadium, like, oh, really? Like, you would retire. And then the Hugh Jackson thing, where he put an expiration date.
Yep.
Another antenna went up inside this building. Like, oh, Marvin's almost 60. Yeah. You know, maybe he's telling us something here without telling us something. So I think it is sort of revealing, Paul, that – so it was fair to wonder. You know, I mean, this team, we talk about, is the window closing? What does he feel about this? You know, so yeah, for him to kind of come out and say, hey, I'm still in this and ready to come back, and then toss a bunch of players under the bus, you know?
Yeah.
It was just.
Who wants under?
He was ready, you know, it read like a guy who was still kind of fired up a little bit to me.
Yeah. You know, yeah, talking about. Yelling at the defense and guys that aren't playing hard enough and
quarterbacks, you know, getting hit too much.
Quarterbacks, which we've heard now, the two most important voices in this building have said that.
Yeah.
And that's no secret. And a reason Cedric Oboye, he's only entering the game with 2:22 left to play four snaps behind Andrew Whitworth at left tackle. Just a lot of stuff in there where it was the feeling of a guy with a point still to prove, and I think feeling like he has an idea of how to attack an off season that he's ready to attack.
Yeah,
to try to fix this up, and not of a guy who's thrown his hands up
right
at all. So
yeah, no, it was interesting, and that was the thing hanging out there, and you know, again, it kind of flew under the radar a little bit.
Yeah,
over the weekend, you know, it was kind of deep in the column, and because honestly, because he was so candid about a lot of other stuff and some of the issues that have gone on with this team that he clearly didn't expect to happen.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and you know, the stuff where you start getting into guys that aren't playing hard enough and leaders that aren't veterans and leaders that aren't column from the game day section. On where they're at. But, yeah, so bottom line is, and I wrote this in the walkthrough, Marvin Lewis is going to be back.
Yeah.
That's it. You guys ask over and over again. We do our best to track this stuff.
And that conversation happens, you know, a couple days after the end of the season.
Yep. So that will come when it's official, but for now we can pretty much know that ourselves. All right, let's have some fun. So you've heard this, you've probably seen the video, you know the story because it was sort of the viral moment of the weekend. So, background, Terrell Pryor, real background, played here for about a week.
Yeah.
In the last offseason, Hugh Jackson was trying him out at receiver. He met, you know, he wasn't here long. He didn't really meet many people. That's what happened.
Yeah, he was here for like the rookie camp, wasn't
he? Yeah, it was barely here. He was barely here. Somehow, though, Adam Jones just decided he don't like Terrell Pryor.
No.
And I don't know if things were said during the last game that set it off or pushed him in the wrong direction, or he's heard things maybe from other people on the Brown. I don't know.
Right.
But he just don't like him. And he made that apparent to you
early
in the week when he said, F that guy, I don't like him. You need to put that in there.
Yeah.
Put that in your story.
Exactly.
Like, I want it known. Put that in there. F him.
Yeah.
I don't like him. He's just a guy. He's not even that good.
Pushes off every route.
You name it. So, when that's the lead up to the game, here we go.
Yeah.
Okay. Game comes. Terrell Pryor catches one ball for 3 yards. Drake Kirkpatrick, Adam Jones at lockers next to each other in the post-game locker room. Now, this is just a few weeks after one-legged old man Steve Smith, who talked a lot of trash about them in the previous years. Dre had a ton, had a bunch to say about that.
Right.
And went off. So they stopped Trail Priors. So let's get this straight. So old man with two Achilles injuries hobbling around on one leg, you stop him and just you just hollering about how good you are. 2 weeks later, some dude on a winless team with a quarterback who only completes 43% of his passes and he's god awful, with a dude who's just learning to play receiver, you just talking about how bad he is, how bad he is. It's a lot. It was funny. It's funny. No doubt about it. But come on, man. Come on, man.
Here's the thing. I look at it, though. Steve Smith and Terrell Pryor like to talk just as much.
True.
So, you know, you got to be, if you're willing to say it. Now, Steve Smith won the first matchup a year ago with that famous video, Trash.
Yeah.
F-boy.
Yeah.
Whatever else.
Yeah.
I mean, and he did. He chewed up the Bengals in that game. And then he blew his Achilles, and this was their first shot at him. So, you know, they let it be known. Now, Terrell Pryor. That's interesting, Paul, because no one quite knows, you're right, the genesis of it with Adam.
Yeah, like, why do you hate him so much?
I mean, we'll hear the audio here, because he didn't want to say that to me Thursday of last week. Because at first, he didn't want to talk at all. He's like, I'll say everything after the game. So this little two-minute speech, he had ready, like, 5 days ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And which makes you think, you know, whatever trash talk happened Sunday wasn't really the start of anything. But look, Terrell Pryor came on a conference call on last Wednesday, you know, and flat out said, I'm the alpha dog in this locker room.
Yeah,
he's like, I don't know, I didn't have any veterans mentor me. Like, I had Randy Moss, you know, get me ready. Yeah, I mean, Terrell Pryor's feeling himself a little bit. He likes the idea that he's gonna,
calling yourself the alpha dog.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is, like I said, it was funny. I get what you're saying and what Paul Gunther and Marvin Lewis said on Monday, where he's like, Adam's too old for this.
Yeah.
Move on. Whatever.
You don't need to be doing this.
Right. But, you know, hey, you know, not everybody's A.J. Green.
No.
You know, A.J. gets a lot of people talk trash about that dude or say stuff to him on the field. You know they do. You see him, John.
Yeah.
But you know, Adam and Dre aren't A.J.
They aren't, and they're not afraid. So anyway, so here you go. Cleveland Browns locker room. After the game, Dre Kirkpatrick and Adam Jones right next to each other. And this was it. This is what happened. Here you go.
One catch.
3 yards.
3 yards. One catch. 3 yards. What's the guy's name again?
Terrell Bryant.
They said Terrell. Trash man? Oh. All right. Yeah, it was good. You know, we had fun with him today. You know, I feel like we did our job. Went out there and executed the plays. So, hey, job well done by the Bengals.
I mean,
one catch, 3 yards. One catch, 3 yards.
What is he? He seems to be a lightning rod around the league. What is it that makes him a lightning rod?
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Trying to understand the question.
I'll turn that around and you. Is that good or bad?
At the end of the day, he get a lot of attention. You know, playing quarterback, ex-quarterback, transferring into the to a receiver. At the end of the day, we like to play around. You know what I'm saying? He was our teammate. So, you know, there's a lot of this is fun and games. But at the end of the day, what the guy's done, changing positions like that, man, I tilt my hat off to him. But can't talk to the, you know, guys that's been doing it for a long time, man.
Little extra motivation when you go up against a guy like that.
Yeah, you know, it was fun. You know, at the end of the day, it's all fun and games. You know, but I enjoyed it today.
He talks a lot out there?
I guess most of it started from last game.
What happened the last game?
I don't know. I just want my teammates in it. I mean, you know, that's just how we go.
Took it personally. I know me and Dre did personally for a guy to go to my coordinator and tell me he's gonna get me cut after the game. And I have utmost respect for you, but certain shit I don't tolerate. From young punks, really, basically, suburb kids that want to act like he's the toughest thing in the world now because he don't caught a couple balls. He's just arrogant. You can see it with his teammates. Did y'all not see him? He was pushing and cussing at RG3 on the field. You know, so I pay attention to everything. Like I told RG3, how the you gonna throw him the ball? He talking to you like that. You the quarterback. Yeah. And it's just little things. And y'all know how I am, man. I don't really get into personal battles because I got respect for a lot of people. But certain situations, it just demands me to speak. You know, truly, I give two about Terrell Pryor and his career and whatever he done.
You guys, Pat, you guys have put together a very good string here the last month. And today, those guys, I mean, not just Pryor, but nobody, you know, Coleman, nobody. I mean,
we're talking about Pryor, nobody else.
Right. No, I'm saying, but overall.
Suck. What else you got to say about it?
No, I'm talking about
suck. What else? Suck. What else? The rest of them real good.
Yeah.
Pryor suck.
But you guys did a good job with everybody else. I mean, they didn't really hear from
you. I don't want to talk about nobody but Terrell Pryor right now. Suck.
How about you?
Hold on, let me
talk. How about you?
Hey, you in there? Hey. You in there?
There you go.
There you go.
There you go, go.
Are we going to end that interview?
I'm done.
I think I got it.
What was your favorite part? Was it the garbage can shake?
No. 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 Although, it's, trust me, people, like, and if you're kind of wondering what I'm saying, go back and look at the video and then listen to that, and it's way funnier because he's in the can. He's in the can.
He's in the can.
No, my favorite part was, you know, our guy, Butch, Jeff Hobson from Bengals.com,
yeah,
really trying to ask legitimate football questions about Corey Coleman and Andrew Hawkins, and nope. Adam is just having none of it.
No.
And cutting them off, and it's Pryor suck. Pryor suck.
So after the game, one of my favorite, ESPN, of course, this is like the ESPN-iest of all the ESPN-y stories. I mean, they just eat up stuff like this. So instantly after the game, they had their story filed, and they created a little tweet embeddable graphic. One of their graphic department went to work. Just a big picture of Terrell below it. Giant block letters. Quote, Pryor suck, period, end quote. And below it is, you know, just Adam Jones says this. And it's just giant block letters. Pryor suck.
Yeah.
What a graphic.
Yeah.
What a graphic.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's silly. It's fairly stupid. It's funny.
Yeah.
I think it's a bad look for the two of them in general.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they come off looking like juvenile kids.
Yeah.
And but
well, here's the thing, Paul. So people listen to that audio and you know, get at me if you think I'm wrong here, but Dre, it seemed like it was more fun for Dre.
Yeah.
And he even said in there, like, look, you know, I give the guy credit for doing what he's doing and trying to turn it around. But Adam was not, like, he cracked a smile when he did the garbage can thing at the end. But in that, like, 90 seconds to 2 minute, like, speech, there was no, you know, Adam Jones picks and chooses when he smiles and jokes around. And that was very, as you could tell by the bleeps that Paul had to put in, he was
challenging my bleeps.
Yeah. He was unhappy. Well, like, happy that he did what he did in terms of the performance on the field, but, you know. Yeah, you're right. It not a great look for your 33-year-old Pro Bowl captain.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Hey, you are who you are a little bit, you know? Yeah. And he's a trash-talking type of dude.
Yeah.
That's, like, that's who they are. And I think they feed off that a little bit. They feed off the point-to-prove, chip-on-the-shoulder thing.
Yeah.
And if that's what gets them going, good for them.
Terrell Pryor was averaging 5 catches, 60-plus yards a game running into it. It was really all they had. So
you know what came of it, though? What came of it, for the most part, national reaction-wise, was a bunch of people bringing up Adam Jones's old stuff.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, thank you, guy who, you know, shoots up the strip club. Right. And you know,
yeah,
that's what came out of it.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of people going back. And that's what happens, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there it was.
Yeah.
That was a thing. And, you know, enjoy that for whatever it is. let's move on. While we're in that area, let's move over to Vontaze Burfict.
Yeah.
So this is the big reunion week for Vontaze and his best friends in Pittsburgh. Gonna hug it out, I'm sure.
Yeah. Reunion week.
It is. It is. They're getting back together.
I don't know why I find that so funny.
Reunited,
but it's...
and it feels so good. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're gonna, him and Vince Williams, I'm sure, are going to like do a complicated handshake and a dap out at midfield.
Yeah.
Look, what was the headline across the Pittsburgh paper last year? I hate Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was trying not to say anything.
Yeah.
And just yelled that out in front of the Pittsburgh reporter.
Yeah.
I mean, he was public enemy number one in Pittsburgh. That was a headline.
Yeah.
He is. Their fans hate him.
Yep.
The team there don't like him.
Yep.
They all think he's dirty. They, like, blew up that picture of David DeCastro planting him in the ground.
Yeah.
There. It's just the way it is. And this is the first time. The first time that the Steelers would have Le'Veon Bell and then the Bengals would have Burfict. So both of them have their hammers.
Since last year when Tez tackled Le'Veon Bell.
Right, since the injury.
Yeah.
Which is what started all this.
Right.
Was that play when he tackled him and sort of ran off and there was a thought that he was celebrating on that. And then obviously culminating in the Antonio Brown hit.
Yeah.
And subsequent meltdown from the entire team after that. The interesting thing that is a part of this storyline, well, it should be. I don't know that it will be for those that are trying to play their angle, is that despite all the talk about Vontaze Burfict and getting a fine, $75,000 fine, don't forget about that one.
Yep.
I want to pay that one. That's big. Has one penalty for 5 yards this year and no personal fouls.
Yeah.
He does seem to have figured out his way to play with the passion that has been so discussed, but not go over the line. He seems, at least in this last stretch of 5-6 games, to have figured that out. That's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's not costing team penalties, not costing himself money since the New England game. He, to me, and Paul Gunther mentioned this, where he's, you know, kind of needs to be aware with it, because he does play on the line. You know, he tried to flop again. In Cleveland, you know, after pushing Terrell Pryor in the back, just like he did to Steve Smith Sr. Maybe he doesn't like seniors.
Hates seniors.
Because Terrell Pryor Sr., don't forget.
It's like senior citizens.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, he does some stuff, but that's more like football player stuff, like stuff that guys do all around the league. I notice it more because I'm watching a guy. But you're right. I mean, and it's like it was a defensive holding, I want to say.
Yeah, it was not
way back
not
when. You know, kind of the people wondered about the Martellus Bennett hit, the Robert Woods hit in Buffalo after he wrecked his knee, and, you know, Rex Ryan took issue with it. Wasn't fined for either of those. So, I mean, he's been on the, you know,
because,
on the line.
But he hasn't. But he hasn't. I mean, the league said this was not.
Right.
This was not fineable. This was not a penalty.
But so maybe he has found that sort of sweet spot in Paul Gunther and Marvin Lewis's mind. The one where they wanted him to play with that passion, as they call it, the edge that they call it, but then not, you know, be suspended for 10 games.
And look, I mean, he admitted it, at his close friend Adam Jones admitted it, that the fine thing got to him.
Yeah.
The last one this year, that's 75K. Got to him. When you start adding that up, you know, we were ready to pull out the meter, the how long until he crosses the mill mark.
Yeah,
because I mean, you were, you know, if he'd gotten suspended for one more game, he'd crossed the mill. I mean, that's
a lot of. It's like
think
Paul
about
Gunther
that.
Said, don't play for free.
Don't play for free. Don't play for free. And so, you know, I think that the league got what they wanted out of all the fining and suspending they did to him.
Yeah.
They wanted to clean him up because they don't want, I mean, that's what that is meant to be, to make guys think twice before they go out there doing that stuff and change the way they play. And that's,
Sunday's going to be the ultimate test. I mean, New England, yeah. Honestly, Paul, New England and LeGarrette Blount and Gronkowski, the only team to really test him.
They got under his skin.
You know, LeGarrette Blount is no angel either. I mean, you know, neither is Gronk.
No.
So, you know, they had the personalities there to do that, right?
Yeah, take a high-profile L and the personalities.
Exactly.
And that's, they're losing. That's what Sunday would be.
Bengals defense is getting beat.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only – now, granted, in the other losses, you know, we didn't see this either, but, you know, Sunday's going to be a test because that Ramon Foster and DeCastro are going to test him.
Oh, yeah, they're coming after him. And the Steelers know how to test him.
Yes.
They know
they're
going to
get him in the pile.
Yeah.
They're going to knock him over. They did it in the playoff game. And believe it or not, up until – I mean, we're not going to revisit all that. But in the playoff game, he avoided all of that stuff.
Until the end.
Which had – yeah, I mean, that was a football play. Yeah, he didn't have any extracurricular 15-yard penalties. Let's put it that way.
Not like Denver.
Right. So, you know, it was – so he's done it before against this team. You know, so now granted, there isn't as much on the line as a playoff game in terms of, you know, with the team and the season and all that stuff. But no, you got to give him credit. You know, he's proud of it. He told us 2 weeks ago going to the Eagles game, hey, I don't have a personal foul. I need to keep it that way.
Yeah.
So.
It's true. So, yeah, I mean, it's he's playing good. There's no doubt about that. Let's bring in Paul Gunther.
Yeah.
On the topic of perfect and that side of perfect, from Monday at PBS, talking about where he's at and sort of you know, that process. So here's Bengals defense coordinator Paul Gunther.
Montez has one penalty for 5 yards this year. It seems like that proves that he has addressed a major criticism.
Yeah, I mean, it was good to see. I think was it last week? You know, the people from Philly, because I'm from there, had said so many good things about him. And players are coming up to me after the game, and that people are starting to speak of him in the light that instead of being a dirty player, he's a really good football player. And obviously, you know, he's flying around the field, and you know, there's, you know, so he's still got to be conscious of doing things the right way all the time. But I think he's cleaned up, you know, a lot of the extra stuff. So I mean, you know, I can imagine if I was just an average fan going to a game, you're going to notice 55 out there flying around the field, you know. And, you know, that's why I said, when this thing is all over, done and said, you want to be known as a great football player, one of the best linebackers at one point in the NFL, not as a dirty player. That's what you want to be known as when you hang the cleats up. So I think he understands that. I think he's going to continue to work to watch anything peripheral, like after the whistle or going running by a guy. That he, you know, he knows you can't do that. So I continually always put my thumb on him that way.
There'll be a lot of scrutiny on him this week.
Well, of course.
Leading up to the game.
Right. I know he didn't play that last game, right? No. I do know that other teams know where he's at.
No question.
You know, and that's kind of how we teach it. Don't let guys run across the middle unscathed. I mean, you know, you can't take cheap shots at him, but if you get your hands on him and you know he's there, and you make a good break on the ball. I mean, he made a good break last week against Philly. He kind of got he and the receiver got banged up a little bit. I think he had one yesterday where he broke on the ball. So it's, you know, it's buyer beware when you go in there as a receiver.
But in terms of Dan's question, with there's the one penalty for 5 yards.
Yeah.
And even Vanta said it before the Eagles game, he was happy. He knew he had no personal foul.
Right.
Is that one of those things where it's, I want to say frustrating, but that he can play at this level and not have that stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but in the past, he did have it. So is it, I don't know. I mean, is it one of those things where as a coach, you're like, why?
The game's changed. The game's changed. I told you. In 1980, he would have been on the cover of Crunch Time, NFL Films Crunch Time. He would have been the poster child. Now, it's different. It's a different game, and it's evolving every week and every year, really. So, you know, and that's the thing he's got to understand. I mean, you try to explain to him and say, listen, you know, I think Eifert had one yesterday. It was kind of iffy, and you're like, you know, so.
Did he need this stretch maybe to show, it's one thing for you guys to say that you can play this way, but now that he's done it for 11 games,
mm-hmm.
that now he, that progress. He knows?
It's like, progress.
Yeah.
How frustrated is he, like what happened in New England, that they're so, you know, he's got a big bullseye on him, they're so, every move he makes is under such scrutiny that, and they get in, he didn't get penalized, but they get in his pocketbook for big money.
Yeah, it ain't cheap, I know that.
I mean, that's going to piss him off, huh?
Yeah, no, of course. I said, you don't want to be playing for free. You know, you don't be doing that. So, I mean, I think he's doing a good job. He's doing a better job, okay? He's not costing the teams penalties. But, again, same thing. I don't want him to play any less aggression than what he's playing with right now, but just continue to play along the same path. And understand that, you know, after the whistle, just continue to work at that level. There's a fine line there. It's a fine line, you know, really, the way the rules are now. It's a fine line.
He's out of a Pro Bowl level, obviously. Do you think he's turned the opinion enough? Because, I mean, it's I don't think he's going to get the fan vote. I think he's still building.
Yeah, I mean.
Do you think players will vote?
I mean, you tell me a linebacker's playing at a higher level right now in the NFL. There isn't one. I don't know. I haven't studied. Y'all watch the other teams. I mean, so whether he makes it or not, I think he's just what's important to him is we win ball games. That's the kind of guy he is. He's a competitive guy. I think he would like to make the Pro Bowl. I think he'd like to be recognized as one of the best linebackers. But I think ultimately he wants to help us win games, number one. So we'll see how it goes.
All right, so there's Paul G. I do want to quickly touch on the AJ Green young receiver, yeah. The receiver room in general. So we know AJ Marvin Lewis says broke out the old weather report, which everyone enjoys.
Yep.
Partly sunny this week, which is the same technically as partly cloudy, but just in a better mood about it.
Yep.
So. Anytime I've seen this type of thing, it always ends up in some sort of game time decision, questionable. He then, of course, says AJ is going to thinks he's going to practice this week.
Yeah,
I don't know what that means either. It's another couch way of avoiding the answer, but
right.
AJ Green feels like he's ready to practice.
Yeah,
we'll see how that looks and go from there.
Right.
You got to have a kind of a feeling that AJ would like to go play against the Steelers.
Yeah,
you know. And especially if there's still something on the line. I mean, technically, we're recording this before the Monday Night Football game, so we don't really know exactly. If the Ravens lose, so if you go in, New York Times has a playoff odds calculator. If the Ravens were to beat the Patriots on Monday night, so insert what happened there if you're listening to this right now. The Ravens win, Bengals have a less than a half a percent chance. Basically, like, the Dolphins and the Broncos need to all lose out the rest of their... Like, everyone needs to lose. Right. Somehow, everyone needs to lose.
Yeah.
And by some crazy combination, and then they win all their games, and some ridiculousness. But for all intents and purposes, I mean, if the Ravens were to lose, the scenario is still open a little bit. It goes to 4% chance of making the playoffs at that point if that happens. So, hey.
They're hanging on to it here.
They're hanging on to it. That's all they got. But I do think it's a big deal for the organization to play the Steelers in a big moment when there's still something – still reason to be out there
more
playing.
Than just
no excuses.
Pride, yeah.
They're out there for a reason. Both teams with something on the line. Whether, as Marvin Lewis said, them for the division and the Bengals just to stay alive. That's something with what I think they feel like is a bit of momentum and resurgence here late in the year. That can be big towards what we talked about in the beginning of this pod, which was building for next year. So I do think that's a big deal. It's all they really got, so it has to be. AJ Green, maybe he plays, maybe he doesn't. What's happened behind him, to me, has been the most encouraging element of this year. And that is Cody Core, Tyler Boyd, Alex Erickson have all become reliable, productive players. Tyler Boyd leads all rookies in third down receptions and third down conversions. He has 21 receptions on third down. 15 of them have converted a first. He has 48 total receptions. So almost 30, about 30% of his catches are third down conversions out of the slot. That's, I mean, that's game-changing stuff right there.
Yeah.
He has, you know, receivers coach James Irvin was basically saying he's always been very good and had and been a good route runner, understood route running. He's doing it so much faster now.
Yeah.
And accelerating so much more. It's creating this this separation, and he's really developing chemistry with Andy Dalton. And you're seeing that rub off where they found a role for Alex Erickson. He's now caught a ball in four straight games. He's got a couple of 16-yard receptions. Obviously, you know what he's been doing in kick return and punt return. He's been a part of the team there. I mean, that's quite a niche to have any role on, to be a kick returner, a punt returner, and part of your red zone group for a guy right. who was undrafted.
Right.
An undrafted kid who was off the probably last man in the room when you started training camp.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And then Cody Core had his big catch against the Eagles, played 80% of the snaps against the Browns. Caught a ball. He's out the out there blocking. He big, strong, physical guy. That you feel great going into 2017 about your receiver room, even if they let Brandon LaFell walk, which is a pretty real chance, I would think.
Yeah, it was interesting, Paul, because on Monday, I know we'll hear from Herbs here in a little bit, but you know Marvin, and he kind of let it slip, and then caught himself when he said he's like, you almost wish you could reset the season.
Yeah, we know.
I mean, but in that sense of like we, which is interesting, and the reason I found it interesting was because Tyler Boyd started from day one. They said that from the moment he was drafted. So to me,
Cody Core,
that was
and Alex Erickson,
Cody Core and Alex Erickson getting those reps outside, and that's a whole other conversation about veterans and Marvin's philosophy. But it was interesting to hear the head coach kind of be like, oh.
Yeah, I wish we could sort of reset the season.
Yeah, maybe that would have helped.
Yeah, playing young kids. Yeah. A crazy thought, right?
Could have been helpful.
But, and I think, there's also something to resetting the season. If you know the season's not going to go well, you might as well have gotten more reps for these kids who are showing to them. Right. But I think they've gotten enough, and then you throw in an off-season work that you feel really good going into next year. All right, let's bring in – I'm going to bring some of my conversation with wide receivers coach James Irvin, just kind of in general a little bit on each of those guys and the room that he sort of has created. And, again, he is really one of the unsung assistant coaches on this staff who now is going through his second wave of developing young receivers and doing it really, really well. The last two got paid real well.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he's hopeful that these guys could follow in the footsteps, but certainly – deserves some credit. So here's wide receivers coach James Irvin.
Erickson, you just, he's a guy, you guys kind of gave him a role. So this slot red zone thing. Mm-hmm. The last 3 weeks he's caught three passes. Mm-hmm. What's been the biggest thing that's helped him out and made you guys liking that role for him?
Alex has shown that he can play all three positions. He knows them all. I've plugged him in all three spots. We've had specific roles. You're right in saying that. We've had specific roles for him, and he's made plays when they come his way. Yeah. You're hard pressed to say, he didn't do that. He does most of it right. He's a little more than you think in just about every category.
Yeah, he's got great vision. And that's how he has got to be a kick returner, it seems like. It's just, he just really has a good feel for what's going on around him and how to get every little extra yard out of catches or runs or whatever. It seems to be his knack.
Football player.
Yeah.
He knows how to play.
How big can what Cody did on Sunday be for his development? I mean, you need that first big moment, and he was pretty pumped after the game. Yeah. I mean, that's got to be a big deal for him.
Well, it's, again, on a huge third down like that, early in the game, press coverage against a real player, a real good NFL corner, and he ran the route the way it's supposed to be run, did all the little things that we work, he put it together on that play, and showed what he is, and he's big and he's fast, mm-hmm. and he's tough, and as long as that's the focus of the type of game he plays, Yeah. We'll keep working on route running. We'll keep working on coverage recognition. All the things, all the growth things. But that's, you know, he did a nice job on that play.
Yeah, fighting through your hands. I mean, that's stuff that you guys have had, wishing you're getting calls sometimes, yeah. But you got to fight through that stuff. And that was a perfect example of through that.
It's easy enough to say throw the flag.
Yeah.
That's the easy way out. And this game's not easy. So
yeah.
You fight, you know, Coach Lewis says all the time, fight through the grabs. Fight through the grabs. And you got to. And he did.
And Tyler just keeps getting, I mean, he just kind of keeps getting better, too. He seems like his routes have gotten a lot crisper the last month or so, it seems like.
Yeah, he's been a good route runner from day one.
Right.
That's his strength, and he's very good at it. He's starting to run them more and more the way we need them run, and as that grows, he's running them with more speed and urgency and acceleration and explosion, and that's maybe what you're noticing, you know, the virility to it, the thrill, Christmas to it.
Yeah.
The routes are still, have always been good. That's always, but now it's, you know.
It's faster. It
looks a little. A
lot more separation.
Right.
Which is big for him.
He still has to keep going. I mean, he's a working progress.
For sure.
Progress in all of them. But I like them. I like how they play.
Yeah.
They push each other.
All right. About 10 minutes left here. Let's get down to some important business. First of all, Jeff Fisher got fired.
Yes.
So, first coach fired. A lot of you asking, how does this affect the bet?
Yeah.
Neither of us drafted Jeff Fisher. Unbelievably. Neither of
you
us.
Picked almost like half the league.
10. I mean, yeah. We each have 5.
Yeah.
And I went back and looked at my notes from the draft day. I didn't even have him on my notes list. Yeah. Because right at that time, the Rams had come out and said, Fisher's our guy. Yeah. Like, there was an extension thing. Where that was, like, rumored that he had agreed to it, but it didn't never was official. Because they never put it out there officially. And then, what a mess that is. I'm not even getting into that. We got enough to talk about here. But the rules of the bet are the first of the 10 that we drafted. Null and void the whole thing. So, still in play. And guess what else developed this weekend? Out of nowhere. Manna from heaven. How beautiful. Rex Ryan might go tomorrow. Right? Like Sunday, all of a sudden, it's Rex Ryan could be gone before the season's over. All of a sudden, out of nowhere.
Right.
Because he's feuding with Doug Whaley and Pagulas aren't happy.
Yeah.
And Tyrod is like, there's like philosophical differences. There's this offensive coordinator who all of a sudden is a head coaching candidate, and they need to get him some chance to learn how to be a head coach. Please. Meanwhile, somehow, Gus keeps taking bad L's and just not going down. Yeah. I don't know how this is happening, but I'm hanging on to every last.
You're like you're like Apollo Creed on the mat.
I'm not convulsing. No, I'm like Rocky.
You like Rocky?
The big Russian is cut. I just cut Drago. It looked like it was going to be a death, but I just cut Drago with Rex Ryan haymaker. Still a chance. I need Rex Ryan to go down for what will approximately be about $58. The back end of this precinct bet. So, no offense. No one wants to see anybody lose their job, but this is the NFL, and there's lots of games that happens on it. That's where we're at. So, that's where that's at. So, it's Gus versus Rex now, pretty much at this point. With the Mike McCoy dark horse still hanging out down there. But San Diego has not been good.
No,
they had that one little mini rally, but they're falling off, too. So, I got McCoy kind of hanging out. I'm just kind of keeping an eye on that. But for the most part, I think I need Rex to go down with the ship in Buffalo to salvage that bet. Why are you mad?
You know what I don't like is I don't like signs telling me what to do. Let me explain something.
I'm trying to help you.
Let me explain something to people here.
I don't like signs telling me what to do.
I'm not talking about a stop sign or a yield sign or something about the law. I'm talking about going into a place that's got fancy coffee machines or fancy drink machines that has a bevy of options. A dozen.
Oh,
I checked. Hot beverages.
Yeah.
Vanilla hazelnut.
I know what this is about.
Lattes. Some good stuff. Some mochas.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this little handwritten sign, brown stained, that says hot chocolate only. No.
No, no. Don't.
No. No. I'm getting that vanilla hazelnut. I'm getting like 6 cups of it.
Don't tell me I can't have vanilla hazelnut. And that thing sure as hell pours out vanilla hazelnut. Did. It did, didn't it?
Yep.
And how was it?
It was fantastic.
It was fantastic. Better than hot chocolate.
It was way better than hot chocolate. Dude, I seen the guy in front of me. He followed the little handwritten sign. That hot chocolate.
Don't do that.
Yeah. I don't want to. Don't make a sign like that.
You know what was my favorite sign of the weekend? So after we drive through the like half blizzard coming out of Cleveland, thanks to our like driver extraordinaire Kareem Elgazar, who was behind the wheel and saved our lives, plowing through there, getting us out of there. We stopped and got gas at one point. Go to the bathroom in the Speedway in the middle of nowhere, of Central Ohio. Big sign, women's bathroom, sign on the door, women's to the right, sign on the door, men's bathroom. Both of them have a sign on the door also says not an exit. No kidding. It says that it's a men's bathroom. What do you think? That I'm going to go in there and I'm going to open it up? There's going to be a toilet and a door to the outside wide open? I know it's not an exit.
Yeah.
It's a bathroom.
Maybe some bathrooms have an escape door.
Escape doors to the outside? No, I know it's not an exit. That's why it says you bathroom. Know what?
The men's room at First Energy Stadium could have used an escape door.
Needed an escape door. And maybe not like good. One vent.
It was not good.
I don't know what happened to people in Cleveland. The worst press box bathroom.
You know what? Maybe it was that hot chocolate.
That must be it. That must be it. All right, so what else do we got? Anything else? Thanks to the good folks at Great Lakes Brewery, Saturday night, great dinner.
Time.
Great dinner. Great Christmas ales. Just a delicious brew. We had so much fun on Saturday night. We saw somebody who looked like AJ McCarron, although it wasn't at all.
No.
I think it just looked like AJ McCarron if you've had a couple of Christmas ales.
Yeah.
I think that's it. But it was just a good time. So thanks to really nice people in Cleveland. So really great hanging out up there. Always a fun trip. Just getting back is the pain. With the snow and everything else, just brutal. Cold. So one more trip left. Just the worst trip in the history of the National Football League.
Yeah.
It's the only trip left of the season. Houston, Christmas Eve.
Ugh.
Oh, we're going to be complaining about that one on the BBP. I can tell you that much. A lot of that coming, so get ready for that. All right, let's get some music and get out of here.
I don't know, man. You started the song. You just finish it.
You want to do that one?
Yeah, man.
You know which one I wish I could bring back is the old Bronson Arroyo Grippos commercial. Together again. That's a classic. That's a classic one for people who used to love old Reds tilts.
Yeah.
Watched lots of Reds games this summer and Bronson Arroyo singing about Grippos potato chips. We could, we very easily can go with the reuniting of two good friends.
Yeah.
Two sides that just love each other.
They do. Mike Mitchell and Tyler Eifert going to hug it out.
Oh, yeah.
Adam and Joey Porter.
I think everyone's just going to get in one big circle and just put their arms around each other and just wish each other the best.
Yeah.
And that's what it's going to be. Talk about their families, how life's going, stuff like that. Or they're going to paint that boy on South Beach.
Yes.
There's always a chance. There's always there's always about a 30% chance of something going crazy haywire. So keep an eye on that. Plenty more coming this week. I'm going behind the scenes with Dan and Lapp this week, which I'm excited about. I've been working on this project for a little bit on all the stuff that Dan and Lapp do that nobody sees or realizes. There's a lot. And it's just kind of a week in the life of those two guys. So keep an eye out for that, which will be coming in the game day section. And we have all the coverage of Pittsburgh week. So keep checking Cincinnati.com. Pick up your Bengals app. And we'll have the BBP2 later this week.
Yeah.
So, all right. So let's get out of here. reunited. Feels so good. We appreciate everybody for listening. We'll talk to you later. I was a fool to ever leave your side. Me minus you is such a lonely ride. The breakup we had has made me lonesome and sad. We're